What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we are exposing the lies of the secular therapeutic. And I know that's a very bold way to introduce the topic today, but I'm doing a three-part series on lies my therapist told me, and I want to take individual lies and address them. And these lies are from my forthcoming book called Lies My Therapist Told Me. It's on pre-order now. You can go to fortisinstitute.org/lies. The goal with this book is to just help the discerning Christian to put into practice their understanding of the Bible. The discerning Christian. There are Christians that are not discerning. And we can just be candid about that. They're not truth-led. They're not letting the Word of God inform their daily life. And the biggest sufferer of that is the Christian that's doing that. They're the one that will be hurt the most. Yet the discerning Christian uses the Scripture to help see this world. And you exercise discernment. You grow in it. And as you grow in discernment, Hebrews 5:12-14, somewhere in that range, as you exercise discernment, you're able to see things the way God sees them. Some of you are discerning and you've just begun to think the secular therapeutic enterprise is not helping us. It's not. It's actually making things worse. The first lie that we're going to expose today is that the secular therapeutic is practicing objective medicine. The secular therapeutic, psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, they put themselves forward as if they were practicing objective, verifiable medicine when they are not. You should be skeptical of a field, that's what I'm calling the secular therapeutic. You should be skeptical of a field that is creating more problems, and those problems are only on the rise. It's interesting because in any other health field, let's just say that there was a nutritionist that started to treat people for their nutrition, and then all of a sudden gastrointestinal problems, body problems got worse. You would think, what the world? Leave that nutritionist alone. Cancel them. Let's not listen to them. If you were going to an ear doctor that created more ear problems, you would say, we're not exactly sure what's happening with that ear doctor, but we know that they're not helping, they're hurting. Guys, listeners, friends, countrymen, this is what the secular therapeutic is doing. Let me give you some fast facts from the National Alliance on Mental Illness. I would encourage you, don't trust my numbers, by the way. Please double check my numbers. You guys are more than welcome to Google and fact check me. Ask your AI chatbot friend. Wait, you don't have a chatbot friend, do you? We talked about this. Don't do that, but do Google and just fact check me. I'm very open to that. This comes from the National Alliance of Mental Illness, an article entitled Mental Health by the Numbers. Okay. 1 in 5 U.S. adults experience mental illness each year. 1 in 5. Not 1 in 50, not 1 in 500, but 1 in 5. Second fast fact, 1 in 20 U.S. adults experience serious mental illness each year. So that's going to move into debilitating. You can't function and conduct yourself within your range of responsibilities. So 1 in 5 people are diagnosed with a mental illness. The top three, as you could probably guess, are depression, anxiety, and ADHD. Those are the most commonly diagnosed mental illnesses or disorders. 1 in 6 U.S. youth aged 6 to 17 experience a mental health disorder each year. 1 in 6 experience this. 1 in 6. This is crazy talk. It's increasing over time. 50% of all lifetime mental illness begins by age 14 and 75% by age 24. We are now graduating our youth from puberty into a self-conceptualization that is therapeutic in its very nature. It pains me. Like, I want to cry and scream simultaneously as I think of the way that we are setting up our youth to self-conceptualize, to think about themselves. That's all I mean, to think about themselves with therapeutic terminology instead of biblical terminology. Per the National Alliance of Mental Illness, what's the result? Suicide is the second leading cause of death among people aged 10 to 14. Suicide. What I mean, what a hopeless reality. You don't have cures. You have treatment. You don't have healing. You have coping. So instead of healing and seeing growth and having a vibrant future, you're diagnosed with an arbitrary medical sounding label. And then you have no hope but meds and therapy for the rest of your life. What a grind. What a grind. No wonder the hopelessness that can come from the secular therapeutic. It's bankrupt. It's bankrupt. I was getting ready for this episode, and I had to actually Google who wrote the song. I thought it was Lynyrd Skynyrd originally. Do you remember the song, We Don't Need No Education? We don't need no education. I just probably triggered like 1,000 copyright laws and a lawsuit to stop singing at you. I'm sorry. I had to Google who said that, because there's a part of that song that says, hey, teacher, leave those kids alone. Pink Floyd, Another Brick on the Wall. There is this foot soldier, this infantry man and woman who is perpetuating these arbitrary sounding illnesses, and it is typically going to be public school teachers. Hey, teachers, leave those kids alone. In fact, one of the things, and I am very convinced that you can be a public school teacher and love Christ and his word. I'm very convinced of that. But I'm also very convinced that unless you're discerning, your public school teacher is, they're funneling you into therapeutic categories, especially if there is poor performance in the classroom. I'm just becoming increasingly aware of this, that when a student struggles in the classroom, the first place that teachers, educators, psychologists tend to look is for a medical, arbitrary medical sounding label. And the one that is most commonly found is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. That's the most common mental disorder of all childhood. It's characterized by patterns of inattention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity that leads to functional impairment experienced in multiple settings. This is the CDC saying this. Symptoms of ADHD occur during childhood, and many children continue to have symptoms and impairment through adolescence into adulthood. Center for Disease Control. This is the diseases control. This is the empirical science. We're talking about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. So obviously there's a medical test for this, right? Obviously there is. Like, obviously when we're diagnosing kids as young as 10, according to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, obviously we're doing brain scans and blood tests and scanning for vitamin deficiencies and studying the gray matter of their brain, right? I mean, obviously the short answer is that no, we are not doing that. We are using the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. I'll talk more about that in this second segment, but we're using the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is this encyclopedia of symptoms. We're using that to diagnose children with medically sounding labels. Guys, we have to wake up. We have got to wake up. We have got to be discerning and skeptical. Can you imagine being told that you have ADHD ever since you were 12 or 13 years old? That's just the way you think about your own giftedness. That's how you self-conceptualize. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the handicap, the disability that we can give young people by telling them what they cannot do from a very young age? We must be skeptical. So it's no shock then that girls are less diagnosed and boys are more diagnosed with ADHD. It's not a shocker. Harvard Health published something that was fascinating. It said, you know, there is a 30% greater likelihood to be diagnosed with ADHD based off of one factor. Are you ready for it? There's a 30% greater likelihood that you would be diagnosed with ADHD if you're born in August. Harvard Health Publishing, double check me, fact check, please, if you're born in August. 25% more likely to be treated for it than a child born in September if you have to be 5 years old by September 1st to start kindergarten. You know, the greatest shaping factor of being diagnosed with ADHD is the month that you were born. the youngest boys in the class are the ones to be diagnosed the most. Guys, can we not zoom out for a second and say the secular therapeutic doesn't have a clue what's going on? How silly is this? The first lie is that the secular therapeutic is objective medicine, but the greatest difference in being diagnosed with ADHD is what is your birth month. Don't you think this has to do with development, maturity? Don't you think this has to do with parenting? Don't you think this has to do with the giftedness of a child? Of course it does. Guys, this is not empirical medicine. This is not empirical medicine. This is subjective medicine. This is like a game of hot and cold. You ever played one of those games? Am I getting close? Warmer, warmer. Scalding hot, on fire hot, lava, you're there. That's what it's like for the secular therapeutic in symptom-based diagnosing. We're guessing, we're guessing, we're using the DSM to guess at your medical label. Your medically sounding label would be the better way to say that. You need to be skeptical. The secular therapeutic is putting itself forward as being objective medicine, but it is not. So we need to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the foot soldiers of this movement. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. And he is really challenging the foundations of what many of us have honestly accepted without question. When he points out that ADHD diagnosis rates vary by 30% just based on what month the child was born, man, that makes you step back and reconsider what it is that we've been told all these years. If you're struggling with some of those same questions about mental health, then I want to implore you to pre-order Dr. Gifford's upcoming book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. It's a resource that's going to directly and deeply and thoroughly address the problematic assumptions of secular therapy, Lies My Therapist Told Me. You can pre-order it right now at fortisinstitute.org/lies. And if you've ever thought about furthering your education in biblical counseling, I want to point you to a lot of experts that work at the Masters University, like Dr. Gifford here. Dr. Gifford, as a professor of biblical counseling, is training the next generation of counselors who are going to stand firm on God's word rather than just secular therapeutic models. Visit masters.edu/transform to learn more right now about their biblical counseling program. And let me ask you another question. Have you experienced the Fortis Plus app yet? If you haven't, you're missing out on something very, very, very valuable in your life. In a world dominated by therapeutic categories, Fortis Plus can help keep you grounded. The app delivers 7 pieces of brand new, fresh content every day, free of charge. I want to encourage you to download the app right now on your mobile device, absolutely free of charge. And something else that strikes me about this conversation on the therapeutic culture is how desperately needed Fortis Institute's voice is right now. That's not a boast either, and I hope you don't take it as such. Look, we're witnessing an entire generation being taught to self-conceptualize through therapeutic labels rather than biblical truth, as Greg mentioned, and that's precisely why our ministry exists, to provide a biblical counterpoint to the damaging cultural messages our kids are hearing. And when you partner with us as a gospel partner, what you're doing is directly supporting content like this that challenges the prevailing cultural narratives with biblical truth. If you're in a place in your life where you could join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be so grateful. And we want you to understand that your local church should always come first in your giving. You can get all of the details right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford as he continues exposing the problematic foundations of secular therapy. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for your resources. Thanks for the hard work. I know there's just been a lot of podcasts to be editing here lately, but yet you've done a good job, and we all as hosts are grateful for you. We've been exposing the lies that the secular therapeutic have told us. This first lie is that the secular therapeutic is objective medicine. And I've said you need to be discerning and skeptical. You need to be somewhat rejectful. Ooh, is that a word? I think I just made that up. You need to be rejectful. Sounds like my 7th grade dating experience. You need to reject the secular therapeutic's attempt to use medically sounding labels for arbitrarily diagnosed issues. The problem that the mental health culture is creating is it doesn't have empirical, verifiable means to say you actually have an illness. Listeners, I almost called you students. Listeners, maybe you're a student. I want you to know that the DSM-5, it's now on the TR edition, the DSM-5 TR is symptom-based diagnosing. It's you describing what the problem is, and then a psychiatrist, medical doctor, they are the ones that are going to use your words to find a category. So they find that category, and then they diagnose you, sometimes in as little as 10 minutes, but the average doctor's visit is around 17 minutes. So they're going to diagnose you based off the DSM-5. But notice what the DSM-5 is not doing. It's not providing lab work. There are no scans of the organ of your brain. There are no vitamin levels. There's no blood work. There's no CT, MRI, none of that. All that we're having done is you verbally describe what's happening, and then a medical doctor, and that does include psychiatrists who are medical doctors, they're going to diagnose you based off of that. This book, I've wondered if it's right next to the book, the Bible of Satan. You know, there's like a satanic Bible. I've often wondered if that's the DSM. You guys are like, oh, Dr. Gifford, you're losing it. No, I'm not losing it. I've lost it. Maybe I never had it, actually. That's probably the best way to say it. I wonder if it's that bad simply for the reality that it's so inaccurate. It's so inaccurate. It is not verifiable. In fact, medical doctors that are practicing empirical medicine see the DSM as highly subjective and non-verifiable. That's Dr. Thomas and Zell's words in 2013 when the DSM-5 was released. These aren't my words. Go Google Dr. Thomas and Zell, or better yet, buy the book Lies My Therapist Told Me, and you'll see the direct quotation from what Dr. Enzel said. This is subjective, symptom-based diagnosing. Almost every other form of medicine has rejected symptom-based diagnosing because it doesn't tell you the root of the problem. Do you want to know what symptom-based diagnosing is like? It's like me having a toothache. You ready for it? You guys ever had dental work? Oh, like it just makes me cringe thinking about dental work. My middle son says he wants to be a dentist, and I just regularly say, why? Like, why would you do that to yourself? No, I don't do that. I think that though. I don't want to stifle his dreams, but I'm like, what kind of sicko am I raising here? Lock my door at night. I never would want to be a dentist. It's painful to think about dentistry and the work of cleaning like a bone type structure in your mouth. Ugh, it's painful. So I have a toothache, right? And if I went to a medical doctor and said, guys, my teeth, they are killing me. Ah, we got you. No problem, Dr. Gifford. Here's a prescription. You can go to the pharmacy downstairs. We got it. And then I go downstairs and I pick up my prescription for pain relief, 800 milligram Tylenol. Is that treating the root of the cause? No, it's not. It's masking the symptoms. That is the DSM in a nutshell. It's not treating the root of the cause. It's treating the symptoms. If you take Tylenol for dental pain, you're going to create more dental pain. The pain is intended to show you that something else is going on in your body. So if you just take a painkiller when you have dental pain, you're going to really, really mess yourself up. I hope you know that by now. I had to learn that lesson the hard way. Some people gotta learn the hard way. Do you guys remember DC Talk? Oh, come on. I know you know DC Talk. Don't be playing. I know you know. I am one of those. And I had to learn the hard way via root canal that if you just mask the symptoms, they don't go away, they get worse. That's the DSM. The DSM is symptom-based diagnosing, symptom-based treatment. You're not getting at the cause of what's going on. So you have this arbitrary encyclopedia that is like a foot soldier of the secular therapeutics mission. It's non-verifiable, by the way. And then you have other foot soldiers who are psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists. These psychiatrists, psychologists, and therapists, whether they're well-intended, and I don't believe that every psychiatrist and therapist are malicious, by the way, I think many are well-intended, naturally compassionate people. Whether they're well-intended or not, or motivated by money or a secure job, I'm not sure. But a psychiatrist is a medical doctor who has been licensed. They have passed medical school. They've been certified to actually practice medicine and licensed to practice medicine in the U.S. Like, that's no small feat, just to be clear. But the psychiatrist is not actually studying the organ of your brain. Just fact check me. Like, go see one. In the book, I talk about my visit to a psychiatrist. Go see one. Go see what it's like when you go to a psychiatrist. See what they're treating. They're going to use the DSM-5 to treat you. Go to a psychologist. They're not a medical doctor, but many have a significant level of education, often a terminal degree, a doctorate of psychology. They're more like a counselor and therapist. They might suggest different mental illnesses or disorders, but they're not going to formally diagnose you. They're going to typically refer you to a psychiatrist. And then therapists, marriage family therapists, school counselors, all of those are really the downstream. They're the practitioners in the room. And the therapist, they're basically continuing the mission of the secular therapeutic. They're the downstream practitioners. And when I say downstream, I just mean the secular therapeutic has this upstream ideology. So a therapist is trained in that upstream ideology in undergrad and grad school, and they practice it. Maybe they have a private practice. Maybe they're working for some healthcare provider like Kaiser Permanente. That's the therapist. So those are the infantrymen. They're the foot soldiers. And maybe the psychiatrists are more like the majors or the captains, and the therapists are like the infantrymen, the boots on the ground. But either way, these are the foot soldiers continuing this. So this continues to progress. This so-called medical issue is not objective medicine, and it's now being perpetuated in subjective ways. Consider the subjective ways. There is a such thing as incentivized diagnosing. So now we can't prove that you have a mental illness, and we can't prove you don't have it. So now that means that in order for us to have a line in the sand for how you get treatment, instead of being discerning and saying, well, I don't really think you have depression. I think that you might have like an inner person hopelessness, or I'm not sure if you have depression. I think that your focus has been on yourself too much, and you're more discouraged because you're living a very myopic life. That's not depression. That's being self-focused and the results that come with that. Instead of having the wherewithal to be able to say that, we're now letting the DSM categories just inform everything. And there's incentives to get a diagnosis. That's what's tricky now. There's incentives to get a diagnosis. Did you know that practitioners, they have to do what's called medical coding, and that medical coding allows them to get paid by insurance companies? So the insurance company is going to pay the doctor, the psychiatrist, the counselor, the therapist. They're going to do so based off the DSM-5 and the categories that correspond to the DSM-5. So essentially, the therapist is saying to your insurance company, I treated the one that's covered by your insurance policy. I treated them for depression today, so pay me for that. It's essentially what medical coding is doing. So now I actually need a medical code, which corresponds to the DSM. I need that to get paid as a practitioner. Instead of saying, I don't think you have depression, instead of saying that, we're now saying, you're depressed. I'm billing your insurance as you being depressed. There's compensation through Social Security and workers' comp. In fact, if you are diagnosed and you can prove that the psychiatric distress, quote unquote, started at work, then you can receive compensation for that. And if it gets bad enough where it prevents you from performing your regular or customary work, then you can now stay home and get paid to stay home based off of this psychiatric distress. This is picking up steam, isn't it, guys? Like, people are now equated to, this is in our schools through the Individuals with Disabilities Act, people are equated to physical or mental impairments. So if you're blind or in a wheelchair, it's being seen as the same thing as having a mental impairment. And yes, that would be a mental illness or disorder. So that means we need to make sure we have ramps at school, and we also need to have rooms that are quiet for kids to be able to go study in that have ADHD. That's the way the Individual with Disabilities Act works, that we want there to be an equal opportunity for all children to have education. And totally, I would say absolutely, that's 100% the right motivation, but downstream, you can't prove they have ADHD or they don't have ADHD. So are you saying that's the same issue as a student who has a visual impairment or a physical impairment? They can't walk? Are you saying that's the same impairment? Well, you need that diagnosis in order to unlock resources in schools. So what's typically the first stop? Practitioners are saying, let's get your child tested. And once they get tested, then they can get these resources. Guys, the secular therapeutic is not practicing objective medicine. And now there are incentives to find these arbitrary, seemingly medically sounding diagnoses. You need to be discerning. Be discerning. The Bible has better answers than the secular therapeutic. Go to FortisInstitute.org/lies if you want to learn more. So we have to be done. Let me pray for us. Lord, there is a war that is taking our children captive, taking our self-conceptualizations captive. Many of us are getting sucked into viewing ourselves through the lens of a therapeutic culture and not the lens of your scripture. Lord, would you set us free? Your word is true and accurate and better. Lord, set us free that we can love you and follow Christ wholeheartedly, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.